Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Gans, and today we will be studying Sefer Ezra, Perek He, Chapter 5. Recall that the initial returnees back to Yerushalayim had laid the foundation of Bayit Sheni, the Second Temple, before local enemies began threatening them and lobbying the Persian authorities to interfere with the construction. Ultimately, the Jews were forced to abandon the unfinished Beit HaMikdash. The construction site is deserted for 18 years. Perek He is set in the second year of King Daryavish of Persia, which dates to the year 520 BCE. It's only now, 18 years after the Jews' first failed attempt to build the Beit HaMikdash, that the construction finally starts up again. Why did it take them so long? And why do they choose to restart now? Pasuk Aleph, verse 1 reads, and I'm going to read in the English translation because our perek is once again in Aramaic. Now the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel to them. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Yehoshua the son of Yehozadak rose up and began to build the house of God which is in Yerushalayim, and with them were the prophets of Hashem helping them. We are introduced here to two Nevi'im, two prophets, named Haggai and Zechariah, who are instrumental in galvanizing the people and their leaders to restart construction on the Beit HaMikdash. Their rousing words of prophecy are not recorded here in Sefer Ezra. They are found in their own books in Tanakh, Sefer Haggai and Sefer Zechariah. Unlike Sefer Ezra, Sefer Haggai makes no mention of enemy interference as the reason for the delay in building the Beit HaMikdash. Instead, Sefer Haggai blames the Jews themselves. Haggai tells us that the Jewish community had fallen into a kind of inertia with regard to building the Beit HaMikdash. He quotes a common refrain among the people in Haggai, Perek Aleph Pasuk Bet, Chapter 1, Verse 2. Lo et bo et Beit Hashem lehibanot. The time has not come for the Beit HaMikdash to be built. Why were the people claiming it wasn't the right time and putting off something so important? Commentators suggest a slew of reasons. Maybe the Jews were disheartened by the failure of their first attempt and interpreted that failure as a sign that Hashem did not look favorably on their efforts. Maybe they were still afraid of the threat from the local enemies in Shomron. Maybe they were waiting for the Persian government to grant them another permit or to undo whatever decree had halted the construction the first time around. Sefer Haggai also indicates that the community was suffering from famine and poverty and lacked the funds necessary to build the kind of exquisite Beit HaMikdash they assumed Hashem desired. With all of these fears and considerations holding them back, it's no wonder that the Jews have neglected to build the Beit HaMikdash for all these years. Haggai and Zechariah are instrumental in convincing the people to try again. Haggai reassures them that they need not import expensive building materials. Instead, they should go to the surrounding Judean hills and collect local timber. Haggai says in Chapter 1, verse 8, Perek Aleph Pasuk Chet, Alu Hahar, go to the hills, v'haveitem eitz, and get timber, u'binu habayit, and rebuild the house, v'ertzebo v'ekavda, then I will look on it with favor, and I will be glorified, Amar Hashem, says Hashem. This is when the Jews scale back their grand plans for Bayit Sheni. Haggai helps the people accept that although the second temple may not be as impressive as the first one, Hashem will be honored by it all the same. Haggai encourages the people, Ani itchem ne'um Hashem. Hashem says, I am with you. The prophet Zechariah, too, relays prophecies to the people, assuring them that at this point, the predicted 70 years of exile are definitely over, and Hashem's presence has returned to Yerushalayim. Zechariah describes cryptic visions of redemption to convey the enormous potential, even messianic potential, that the Second Temple holds, if only they will build it. Haggai and Zechariah succeed. In a very rare phenomenon in Tanakh, the Jews actually listen to the words of the prophets. they dust off the bulldozers and get to work, led by Zerubbabel and Yehoshua. The end of Pasuk Bet, verse 2, reads, V'imhon nevi'aya di'elaha misa'adin lahon. With them were the prophets of God helping them. The commentary attributed to Rashi suggests that Haggai and Zechariah themselves actually got in the trenches, laying bricks alongside everyone else. There's a sense of excitement and momentum. We can do this. But they're not home free yet. In Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, the Persian governor arrives to inspect the temple construction. I'm going to read in English. At once, Tatnai, governor of the province of beyond the river, Shtarbazanai and their colleagues descended upon them and said this to them, "Who issued orders to you to rebuild this house and complete its furnishing?" Beyond the river is Avar Nahara in Aramaic, Aver Hanahar in Hebrew. It refers to the region west of the Euphrates, including Eretz Yisrael, that was under the auspices of a governor named Tatnai. Tatnai and his entourage approach the Jews building the Beit HaMikdash and essentially request to see their building permit. Who gave the command to allow you to build this Beit HaMikdash? Although this isn't explicit in the text, it's likely that Tatnai's surprise inspection is the work of the Tzarei Yehuda uBenyamin, the enemies living in Shomron, the Kutim, who are probably trying once again to pressure the Persian authorities to shut down the construction in Yerushalayim. Tatnai himself seems like a relatively neutral party. He's doing his job as governor, investigating a report of unlawful construction. In fact, Tatnai even allows the Jews to continue construction on the Beit HaMikdash while his investigation is pending. Sefer Ezra considers this leniency on the part of Tatnai an act of divine providence. Pasuk Hey, verse 5 states, "But the eye of their God watched over the elders of the Jews, and they were not stopped, while a report went to Daryavish, and a letter was sent back in reply to it." Tatnai dispatches a letter to King Daryavish after collecting the names of those involved in building the Beit HaMikdash. This letter, written in Aramaic, the administrative language of the Persian Empire, is recorded here in full. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. They sent a message to him, and this is what was written in it. "To King Darius, greetings, and so forth. Be it known to the king that we went to the province of Judah, to the house of the great God. It is being rebuilt of hewn stone, and wood is being laid in the walls. The work is being done with dispatch and is going well. Thereupon we directed this question to these elders. Who issued orders to you to rebuild this house and to complete its furnishings? We also asked their names so that we could write down the names of their leaders for your information." Tatnai informs Daryavish of his visit to Yerushalayim and his inquiry about the Jews' right to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. This part of the letter doesn't say anything new. We read all of this in the preceding narrative. But then Tatnai, in his letter, records what the Jews said back to him. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. This is what they answered us. "We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. We are rebuilding the house that was originally built many years ago. A great king of Israel built it and completed it. But because our fathers angered the God of heaven, he handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar the Chaldean, king of Babylon, who demolished this house and exiled the people to Babylon. But in the first year of King Cyrus of Babylon, King Cyrus issued an order to rebuild this house of God. Also the silver and gold vessels of the house of God that Nebuchadnezzar had taken away from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to the temple in Babylon, King Cyrus released them from the temple in Babylon to be given to the one called Sheshbazzar, whom he had appointed governor. He said to him, 'Take these vessels, go, deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its original site.' That same Sheshbazzar then came and laid the foundations for the house of God in Jerusalem, and ever since then it has been under construction, but is not yet finished." The Jews clearly chose their words carefully in responding to Tatnai as he records it. The Jews emphasize the continuity of the Beit HaMikdash they are building now with the original temple of Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, as if to say, this is nothing new or radical that we're doing, and therefore not threatening. They cite the Cyrus proclamation and belabor its details, the date in the first year of Cyrus's reign, the gold and silver vessels and Sheshbazzar, etc., to substantiate their right to build. the Jews claim that the Second Temple has been under construction since its foundation was laid, conveniently glossing over that 18-year pause in building due to the protests of their neighbors. The last thing they want now is for the building to stall again, not when they're so close to finally finishing the Beit HaMikdash. So they tread carefully in responding to the Persian governor. Tatnai concludes his letter to King Daryavish in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. And now, if it please the king, let the royal archives there in Babylon be searched to see whether indeed an order had been issued by King Cyrus to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. May the king convey to us his pleasure in this matter. Tatnai requests that Daryavish check the royal archives to verify the Jews' story and send back a royal decision. Will they be allowed to complete the Beit HaMikdash or not? This shir is dedicated L'Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.